The greatest contest in sport is, of course, the Olympic Games. It happens every 4 years, and we look forward to it coming to London in 2012. In Beijing in 2008, the United Kingdom had some great success in medals, gold, silver, and bronze. But if we want to do better next time in London in 2012, well, those who are going to be competing need to be training now. They need to be getting out and practicing and disciplining themselves now if they want to win gold in London in 2012. And this race is something that the Bible talks about as well. As we have races in the Olympics, so the Bible talks about the Christian life as being a race, a contest, an athletics contest even. In many places in the Scriptures, the Christian life is viewed as a race. That is a spiritual race. We're not talking about a physical thing. Don't worry if you can't go for a marathon. We're talking about the race of faith. And the Christians, Paul says here, are runners. And many of us might feel that as we're running the Christian race, we feel like giving up. I don't know how you felt coming to church this morning, whether you felt tired and weary from a long week at work. Many of us will feel disappointed and sad because of sufferings we might have experienced in recent times. We might feel like giving up the Christian race altogether. And one of the big reasons why we might feel about quitting the Christian race, the race of faith, keeping on, is because of work. This is our last of the sermon series on work. And there is this race, isn't there, at work. And it doesn't matter whether we're in paid employment, whether we're studying as students, whether we're retired, whether we're working at home. There is a race at work. And if we're in paid employment, there's a race, especially these days in the recession, to keep our jobs. There's a race to achieve things at work according to what our bosses want. There's a race to be promoted. There's a race to get a salary increase or a big bonus at the end of the year. So if that's where you are, if you find work, whatever that is, difficult and hard, then you need to listen this morning. And given the pressures of the work race, whatever your work might be, how should we run this Christian race, this spiritual race, this race of faith? And Paul, from our passage this morning, gives us three pointers. And the first one is this: run the race with perseverance, win the prize. Run the race with perseverance, win the prize. He's talking here about the Christian race. Run it till the end in order to win the prize of eternal glory and final salvation. Have a look, please, with me at verses 24 and following of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air." Paul here is talking about the Isthmian Games, which happened in Corinth every couple of years. Now, the Isthmian Games were even bigger than the Olympic Games in those days. They were the great contest, and it brought Corinth fame and glory. And people came from all round the Roman world to compete in these games. You had athletics contests, you had running contests, you had boxing contests, you had all sorts of things. And what you gained, if you won, was a laurel wreath. And Paul says, well, Just like you know about these athletics games, this Isthmian games, this great and famous games, so the Christian faith is a contest. It's a race. And we all know from the Isthmian games that you get a prize at the end. Run, he says, you Christians, spiritually speaking, by faith, in order to get the prize of final salvation, of glory, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And then in verse 25, his mind turns to those games. He says, look, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. That's what they did. Even a couple of years before them, they went into strict training in order to compete both in the athletics and the boxing. And they do it to get a crown that will not last, i.e. a laurel wreath. Once you get it, once you're crowned, you're on that podium, everybody's shouting, waving, and screaming your name, well, you get it, but it doesn't last. It fades away. But, he says, if you run as a Christian, if you run by trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and keep on keeping on, you'll get that glorious crown, that glorious laurel wreath of eternal salvation. And you will enjoy the blessings and the glory of heaven forever and ever and ever. That's what he says. And then he applies it to himself. Like any good preacher, he applies it firstly to himself. He says, look, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. And he probably has a picture of those who were, you know, trotting round the streets of Corinth who looked very impressive, but who were actually jogging a few hundred meters, then going and having a fish and chips or something even worse, a chocolate cake or something like that. And he's saying, well, that's not the way to run and win the Isthmian Games, is it? No, I don't run like that in the Christian life. I actually discipline myself to focus on Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not like a man beating the air. The image here is of a boxer. Now, if you're a boxer in those games, well, you go into the ring and you box. But Paul's talking here, it's no good being a shadow boxer, just doing this and looking very good and saying, you know, look at me, I'm a great boxer, but never getting into the ring. That's no good. You're never going to win the prize that way. And Paul's saying the same. In the Christian life, it's no good just saying you're a Christian, just trotting along to church every few weeks, just having a little prayer every few weeks. No. You've got to be focused on Jesus Christ and Him alone. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to say no to sin. That's the way to do it if you want to win the eternal heavenly crown. That's what he's saying. See, Paul's saying real Christians persevere. It's no good starting the race well. You've got to finish well to win the prize. No good making a decision for Christ 20 years ago if you're not running today and if you're not going to be running tomorrow. No, have self-control today. The only real test of a Christian, a real Christian, is if you're running today and when you die with your gasping breath, you're trusting in Jesus Christ. No pain, no gain. That is what Paul is saying. Keep on keeping on. That's what a real Christian does. And we all know that, don't we, from the Olympic Games and indeed any athletics or sports contest in this country, whether it be cricket or football or rugby or whatever your sport is, if you play, you know that. You have to train. You have to be disciplined. It's no good really sitting at home watching television and having that extra piece of chocolate cake. That won't get you out. That won't get you the goals, will it? No. You've got to train hard. For the Christian life is not a 100-meter sprint. It's not getting off the blocks early. It's not a nice amble round Virginia Water Lake. No. It's a hard marathon. And you've got to make it to the finishing line. What does all this have to do with our work, whether paid or unpaid? Well, quite simply this. Work life can seem like a race, can't it? Indeed, we talk about the rat race, don't we, at work. But Paul says, look at these two different types of races. Look, he says, at work. What does it bring you? Promotion, maybe? Success, yeah, the well done, whether it being paid or unpaid. Lots of money, probably. But then what happens at the end? You see, on our deathbeds, none of us, I predict, will say, well, I wish I spent more time in the office. None of us will say that, will we? What's it all for, says Paul, this work stuff? Will it actually bring us eternal reward? Will it bring us something that's going to last forever in glory and joy and happiness? He says, look, compare that sort of race, which actually leads to retirement and then death, as Francis very wisely and unpacked for us last week in our sermon on work, and compare the Christian race. It's a race run by faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It requires self-control. It requires saying no to sin. It requires keeping on, keeping on. It requires those disciplines of a quiet time, of regular attendance at church, of reading your Bible, of going to Bible studies, of reading good Christian books. And above all, knowing and loving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Result, eternal glory. He says, compare then these two races. And remember, if you're focused on the work race, you might miss out on the Christian race. For it's no good starting well. You have to finish well with Jesus Christ on your deathbed. That is the way to heaven. And Paul also fears that those whom he writes to, the Corinthian church, the Christians, face disqualification. Even more than that, he fears that he, in the Christian race, faces disqualification. And that's the second thing we learn. Don't be disqualified in the race as some were. Don't be disqualified in the race as some were. Have a look at chapter 9, verse 27. This is Paul again, applying his own teaching to himself. No, he says, I beat my body and make it my slave, i.e. he's disciplined, he's self-controlled in the Christian life, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. What he means is that it's not about good works, it's not about perfection, no. Because after all, he's the great apostle, isn't he? He's the great preacher. And yet he fears that he doesn't persevere himself. If he doesn't quietly keep on keeping on, if he doesn't quietly keep on each and every day until his dying breath, trusting in Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, he'll be disqualified. That is, he won't get to heaven. The disqualification is a term again from the Isthmian Games. It means, well, if you've had, you know, if you've broken the rules of the contest, if you've got a banned substance, as we'd say today, you're out. You're disqualified. You won't get into the race, you won't get a medal. That's what Paul is saying. You won't get that medal of salvation. And that is precisely why he has this long list in chapter 10, verses 6 to 11, of the story of ancient Israel. He says, look back into your Old Testament. Look at what happened to that generation that came out of Egypt and then wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. What happened to them? Well, they committed idolatry. That's what we read about, as John explained to us in our first reading from Exodus chapter 32. They built a golden calf, they worshipped it. And sin after sin after sin for some of them meant that they never made it into the promised land. They fell in the wilderness. Their dead bodies were strewn over the wilderness. They incurred the wrath of God himself. And he's saying, watch out. This is a warning to you, Corinthian Christians. You don't be like those ancient Israelites. Don't be disqualified. But you might at this point of the sermon say, yeah, Ro, that's all very, very well. But of course, we're saved by grace, isn't it? It's all by grace. It's all by God's work from beginning, middle and end. So how can we be disqualified? Well, think about it this way. Last year, Rita and I were travelling up to Birmingham on the M6 motorway. And at that time on the M6 motorway, there's quite a lot of roadworks. And there was a sign saying 1,066 car accidents in the last 5 months. That's all it said. Now, what are you supposed to do with that sort of sign? Are you supposed to say, well, I'm a good driver, I've never had an accident in a motorway, so it doesn't apply to me? If you say that, you risk having an accident. Nor is the message actually, well, it's inevitable, I'm going to crash. No. The sign says, look, there have been in the past accidents. You take care. You make sure yourself you're not the next car crash. That's what the sign's saying. And that's Paul's point and that's God's point. What he's saying is, look, these warnings are there for real Christians for a real purpose. A real Christian will notice the warnings of Scripture, take them into account and say, this ain't going to happen to me. I'm not going to be the car crash. I'm not going to be disqualified. I'm going to keep my sights fixed on Jesus and get there. That's the way it functions, the warnings of Scripture. They apply to real born-again Christians. For we need to persevere and listen to the warnings so that we can get there. And the key thing to learn as to what might disqualify us is idolatry. Now, these days, of course, we might not be tempted like ancient Israel to make a physical golden calf. But Tim Keller in this book is very perceptive in analysing what our idols may be, the temptations we might have, the temptation and the idol of love, putting all our eggs into the love basket, the relationship basket, and making our partner our God, of money, of power. And above all, Keller says, our idol today is success. We want to be successful. We have an addiction to success. We want people to like us. And if we succeed in something, well, that makes us feel good. Success, Keller maintains, is the great idol of today. If that is so, Paul says, watch out. Don't make success at work your idol. Rather, keep on going with Jesus Christ. And remember what happened to Israel. You can be disqualified. You can lose heaven itself if you're not running properly. If you're snared into these idols. You might actually now say at this point, yeah, but then what does really happen to grace? How can we be sure? How can we be confident of salvation? How can we have that sense of the joy of the Holy Spirit, that assurance, knowing that we're going to be okay, knowing that we're going to actually be saved and in heaven? Well, Paul does come on to that. And that's the third thing. Run the race with confidence. God is faithful. Run the race with confidence, God is faithful. Paul doesn't want to undermine Christian assurance. He wants to reinforce it by focusing our minds on God himself. Look at verse 13. Paul writes, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And he means here the great trying test of idolatry. For that was the big problem in Corinth. There were many temples out there. The Corinthian Christians, it seems, were tempted to go into them. Not because they believed in different gods, but because they thought, well, it was okay just to be like everybody else in their society and their town. Saying, no, there's a real serious test for you. There's a temptation of idolatry. But, he says, God is faithful. We've already sung this morning about God the rock, who is faithful and just, without injustice. He's saying, think about God's faithfulness. That means love. That means grace. Think about Jesus Christ. He paid for your sins upon the cross. Think about the Holy Spirit who's been poured out. You've got all the resources of God to go on to run the race and win the reward. You've got it. God is really, really faithful. And yes, he says, you will have temptations, but he, God, will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he says, he will provide a way so that you can stand up to it. Yeah, you might be tempted by all the idols of Corinth, all the idols of the other gods, of success, of money, of power, of sex, all those things you might be tempted with. But God will provide the way out. Paul's mind here actually switches in illustration to an army trapped in a valley. The enemies are around them on all sides. There are valleys and huge mountains. How are they going to be saved? Well, he says, well, in that situation, God will come in and actually provide you with a way out so you can keep on running, he says. And actually, that is what happened when I had a phone call earlier this week. There was a Christian lady who was talking to me about a problem she has at work. She had been asked by her employer to actually sign off on some work which was in fact untruthful. She was asked, in effect, by her employer to lie. And being a Christian, she went away and thought about it and prayed about it, and she decided that is something she simply could not do. So she graciously told her employer, well, you've asked me to sign off on this piece of work, but I just can't do it. It's just not right. Now, she honored God. She trusted in the faithful God. And actually, the employer backed down and said, it's okay, you don't need to actually do this. We'll change it to be truthful. That's the way God operates at work. Put him first and see if he's faithful. God honors those who honor him, especially at work. But of course, there are many examples around the world, especially perhaps in Muslim countries, where Christians at work are under great pressure. And if they witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, they might lose their job, and even worse. But, says Paul, even in that situation, God will give you the strength in that testing, trying circumstance to go on until the end. He will so change you, give you the strength in your weakness so that you will confess Jesus Christ with your dying breath. For God is faithful and he will do it all. So run the race with confidence. You can be sure of that glorious, magnificent reward. We will get there, for God is faithful. So let's now sum up and wrap up. The race at work threatens to disqualify us from the Christian race altogether. It threatens and tempts us with the idols of our life, of our day and age, and of our workplace. So we must run the Christian life to win the great prize and the goal of glory and salvation. And if we do so, and if we get there in the end, and when we are in heaven and we look back on our lives, we will actually say, it's all God's work. He gave me the strength. He was faithful. It was grace at the beginning, it was grace in the middle, and it was grace in the end. It's all to his glory and goodness and kindness and love and faithfulness. Or as the Victorian preacher Charles Spurgeon put it, we run the race as if it all depends on us, but we pray as if it all depends on God. Let's now pray, for we depend on God. Heavenly Father, we are indeed tempted in our work race, wherever we are at work, to give up the great race, the real race, the true grace, the Christian life. Heavenly Father, help us not to be disqualified. Help us to run that race with great perseverance, the Christian life. And help us to know that you are faithful, and that when we get into heavenly glory itself, we will look back on our lives, look back on our temptations, look back on our temptations to our idols and say, yes, you were faithful. You kept us. Your goodness and grace has got us there. To your Son's everlasting glory. Amen.